2 Timothy 2:11 through 13, these are God's words. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Throughout the course of 1 and 2 Timothy, there are five of these patterns of sound words that he gives by saying something to the effect of, this is a faithful saying, and so forth. Oddly, in the last couple hundred years, it has become popular even among Reformed and Presbyterian commentators to suggest, oh, these must be first century hymns that the church was inventing for singing in public worship. This, of course, is an interpolation. There's nothing in the Bible or in the church histories that tell us this. But there is something in the Bible, in fact, in 1 and 2 Timothy, where the apostle reminds Timothy of patterns of sound words that he has been given. And patterns of sound words that he is to give to others. So this is actually, as far as the Spirit has given us to understand, the fourth of five snippets from the catechism that they had in Ephesus at the time. And a wonderful example and reminder that it is good for us to condense into patterns of sound words the teaching of the Bible as a whole. So, the catechism that they had in Ephesus was so sound that Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, could actually use clips of it inerrantly in writing to Timothy, which is marvelous. Here, Timothy has been reminded of the danger of not enduring hardship. He has been reminded of the danger of worldliness. He has been reminded of the danger of not applying the means of grace to himself. He is reminded of the danger of not sticking with the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he professes. And the snippet of the catechism that Paul gives him now in these three verses that are before us, they remind him that faith in Jesus Christ is not just a formula of words, even. It is not just an idea. It is a reality that joins us to Jesus. This is very similar to the reasoning in Romans 6, where he's been talking about whether we should continue in sin. And he says, no, don't you remember that you died with the Lord Jesus Christ? And don't you remember that this happened by Jesus' pouring out his Spirit, baptizing you with his Spirit, and that it was the Holy Spirit's work to join you to Jesus, so that you died with him in a way that could never be undone, and that you have risen again with him, and there is a new you that is different than the one who was before you believed in Jesus, and the new you lives unto God and offers all that you are unto God as slaves for righteousness and battles whatever is left from that former you, and so forth, like we've been hearing in Romans 6. Well, it applies not just to sinning. It also applies to the purpose of life. It applies to what we consider to be heavenliness. And, of course, there's a righteousness and sin component to those things. And it applies to enduring hardship. As Paul has just said at the end of verse 10 leading into this passage, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, etc. He's telling Timothy, don't you remember the part in the catechism that we have memorized and are teaching others about union with Christ? If we died with Christ, we shall also live with him. If we're united to Christ, and the former self is gone, and the new self is one who died and rose again with Christ and lives unto God. Then the new self is one who lives unto God. He lives unto God against his sin, Romans 6. He lives unto God in enduring hardship. He doesn't give up because of the hardship that he endures, or shrink back from it because of the hardship that he endures. There's another application of the same doctrine of union with Jesus Christ. And you start to see, don't you, how important it is to remember that you don't just have a forgiveness that was purchased by Jesus, or a righteousness that was provided by Jesus, but that you personally have Jesus himself. If you believe in him, you are his and he is yours, and your life is shared with him. And so you died with him and you live with him, and this sort of person does not shrink back or fall away. And so you must endure whatever it costs you. You must endure. You know, there are people who are not believers and by force of will are able to give a superficial, or produce a superficial level of kindness and niceness. There are many people from many cults who do lots of good things and are nice people and learn how to restrain their tongues externally and have a bunch of common grace wisdom in how they live. There are many people who, in their self-deception, are even willing to die for their lies. But a true Christian will not only have the external and the internal do this, do all the righteousness out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ and delight in him and delight in God, but a true Christian will also be willing at least to do as much for Christ as the wicked are for their lie. To endure suffering, to die. But unlike the wicked, who when they endure and they die, they perish, what happens with believers who endure? Don't we know, verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. To the one who overcomes, I will give the crown of life. He says over and over in Revelation, don't you know that the one you're united to sits already on a throne in heaven? And he has fellowship with you, and you have fellowship with him in your sufferings and in your endurance now. And it makes the sufferings themselves sweet, that they come from his kind and wise and loving hand, and that he has fellowship with you in them and takes you through them, and that they are analogous to nothing so great as his sufferings, accomplishing nothing so great as his sufferings accomplished, but still analogous to his sufferings, a little way in which you get to have some of the shared experience with your Lord. And if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Don't you see what is coming as soon as these light and momentary afflictions have accomplished everything that he sends them for? And so the apostle is using the same doctrine that we have been seeing in Romans 6 for rejecting sin and resisting sin. And he says, doesn't this doctrine of union with Christ, having died with him and now living with him, and yes, that living includes hardship, which means living with him is enduring. But what does living with him mean when you're when the time of hardship is done? It means reigning. Because you're not just living in yourself as someone who received things from Jesus. You are living in union with Jesus. And so you will reign. But what about the one who gives up under difficulty or pain or suffering or trial? Well, the one who gives up, they weren't really united to Christ, were they? Because whatever obedience there was, whatever good ideas there were, whatever resolve there was, if it was coming from Jesus, it wouldn't run out. That's one of the great encouragements of a Christian. However small my love is, however small my obedience is, however small my endurance is, however small my resolve is, if it has come from Jesus by his Spirit, it will never run out. And one day it will be perfect. And so while I do grieve over how small it is, I'm not dismayed, because I know that the one from whom it came will never give up and will never run out. But someone may seem to have a great amount, and yet it is not coming from Christ. that must run out. And it must be, however good it seems, of an infinitely worse quality. Because it didn't come from Jesus, it came from the flesh. And he must perish at last. And one of the ways such a person is exposed, or can be exposed, is under trial, under difficulty. As he says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. He's quoting something that Jesus said in his earthly ministry, isn't he? If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. And this is one of the reasons why when John in 1 John is talking about how you can identify someone who claims to have the Holy Spirit but doesn't. If someone claims to have the Holy Spirit but doesn't say that Jesus is God who came in the flesh, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He's denying the true Jesus. And so Timothy is reminding him that just as sinning is to deny Christ, being unwilling to submit to hardship for his sake is a denial of Christ. And just as heresy is a denial of Christ, giving up Christianity, obviously, when it becomes hard or illegal or dangerous to be a Christian, is a denial of Christ. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he is faithful. So if we are faithless, if we run out of faith, where does that say our faith was coming from? It's coming from us. Does Jesus run out of the resources of giving faith to us? Does he ever run out of being faithful to himself? Let alone giving us to trust in him and hope in him? He cannot deny himself. Why? Because he can't sin. Same reason he can't lie. Because he's God who cannot lie, Titus 1:2. And so we must remember that however dangerous it ever becomes for us to profess Christ, it is always infinitely more dangerous to deny him. Because he cannot, will not deny himself. He can no more deny himself as he can sin or stop being God, stop loving, stop doing everything righteous. He is faithful and he will not deny himself. And so this is a wonderful, you can see why this would be part of the pattern of sound words that the apostle had given to Timothy for use in Ephesus. Fantastic application of the doctrine of the union with Christ for daily life. Great model for giving a pattern of sound words. And here, Paul thinking about his protege, his son, and the faith, and in the ministry, and everything that he is going to be suffering for the sake of the gospel. If you know that you're going to be suffering, you drill yourself with the ABCs, so that in the moment of greatest distress, you still have that most fundamental thing. And Paul is telling Timothy, remember the ABCs of living in union with Christ, the faithful sayings. This is how I endured all things, or have endured all things, for the sake of the elect, verse 10. This is how you must endure hardship, verse 3. If we endure, verse 12, we shall also reign with him. Have Christ always before your heart and your mind. Have union with Christ to be your own personal union with Christ, not just an abstract general doctrine in the ether somewhere. Have your own personal union with Christ to be something that you keep referring back to in your heart and mind all day long, every day. And the holier you get, the more natural this will be. And then when we go to glory, we'll be perfectly holy. And it'll just be perfectly natural. And then let's pray. Father, thank you for this portion of your word. Thank you that you have given us your Spirit to write the truth of your word on our hearts. We pray that you would help us to remember, again, that if we genuinely believe in Jesus as something you gave us, and so we died with him, and we rose with him, and we'll endure with him, and we'll reign with him. And so we pray that you would keep us clinging to him in that union that you have given us with him. Make us to experience it in communion and fellowship with him, in our awareness of belonging to him. We ask in his own name. Amen.